The last time we talked about, I wrote down five different things that you wanted to commit to. How did we do?
Yeah, I think we could do better, for sure. But I've done a pretty decent job scheduling, you know, I feel like scheduling the meetings and stuff like that. And, it's been busy. It's just been busy. I mean, that's the main thing. It's been busy. I'm wondering if we might be able to table those five things until next month. okay. Help me out on this one. And I want to talk to you about partnership, kind of the ideas, right? Because you and I have talked about it before, and I've been real reluctant to give things up. And so I want Johnny to be in the same room, and you kind of talk about your thoughts on it. And I don't want to censor you in any way or change your words.
Okay. Now you mean specifically what are you thinking?
Specifically, I'm thinking about, you know, I've got my top 100 clients, and then from the 100 on, you know, because we're talking about partnerships and structuring partnerships, you know, and we need some guidance, because it became clear when we were talking with our, last month with our, whatever Meredith is, our associate complex manager, she was talking about teaming and things like that. And we didn't really have a great answer for, because we need to set up some splits if we're going to, or maybe now is not the time for split numbers. We haven't done it yet.
I mean, look, this is going on all the time everywhere. So don't feel like, you know, the problem you have is that you live in this little world. And you don't see enough of what's going on out there. The world is partnering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and, you know, you get break. It's like, you know, you'd ask me about marriage. It's a very similar conversation. Everybody's getting married, right? I mean, and they know that it can end in divorce and it can be horrible, but they still get married. Because in the end, marriages are better than not marriages, you know, or people wouldn't keep doing it.
Right. Sure.
So it's the same thing. It's leverage, and it's, you know, we talk about a mastermind. The mastermind, the definition of a mastermind is when two minds come together, they create a third mind, which is called the mastermind. And you cannot create that mind by yourself. Now, the more interesting the people are that come together, the higher the benefit, higher the degree of that mastermind being even more valuable, right? So you want to be good in the selection of partners. You want to be different from you. And you want to have things very clear. The clearer they are in the beginning, the better things work. I don't have any partners at Supernova because I didn't want any partners because I didn't want to listen to anybody.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. I do.
Right. I didn't want to hear about it, you know? So I have people that are independent contractors that we work together. So we're kind of partners, but we're not, you know, in the end, if I want to close up shop, I can just close up shop. If it gets to be a hassle. So it's a little different, but if I were in business, as a financial advisor, I would have probably always had a partner. I didn't because partnerships weren't popular when I started. But I'm a team player. I like helping somebody else. I'm a coach. You know, I played better doubles than I ever played singles. You know, it's just my mentality. I'm there to help. And, you know, I get accused of occasionally by my wife of being a nice narcissist. But in reality, I really am a pretty good team player, and, you know, life has benefited me. There's no question, but I try and be generous with everything. So I think that's the kind of mentality, you know, the most important thing is, is the person a good person, and do you like them? Do you trust them?
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
And once you get to that, you know, after that, then it's just a matter of details. You know, we can start out at a, you know, a 90-10 split and make it, work it out over time where that person gets more and more of it, or you can start out 50-50, or you can give them 90-10 their way if you don't care about the revenues. So that's just a question of what, you know, was good for them and good for you. You know, with Johnny, he's going to need to have a certain amount of revenues to, you know, to keep his status as a financial advisor. So you don't want to overburden him with so many clients that he can't work, because he's going to, you know, he's your, you brought up, I mean, one of the reasons he's there is because he's a, he has the ability to be a bird dog. Find the opportunities and you close them. So you want to work together on that stuff and spend, you know, I'd say spending 80% of your time together on that stuff is what you should be doing. And he should be spending 10% of his time servicing existing clients.
So as I've been going through these splits, it's like, so I've been, you know, coming back to almost having two numbers, you know, two split numbers. Like one is this, he's bringing in assets and he's bringing in his accounts, so it'll help him out. And then the other is, you know, for these accounts that, and we already discussed doing it slowly, like you're talking about, we may have already had that conversation. So it's over a period of like 6 months, you know, where we're taking, so he's not overly burdened with, dump 100 clients on him and
yep.
He can't see straight, you know. So that's what I was, and even this morning, like his uncle has brought in some assets. So I just moved it entirely into his number until we figure things out, you know, because that's really his relationship. I want to make sure he gets off to the best start that he can, with this.
Yeah, I do his, yours, and ours. Okay. You know, if it were me, I would do, if it were me, this is what I would do. I would say, you know, you have a minimum, absolute minimum of $1 million, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you've been opening accounts less than $1 million, I'm sure.
Right. We do $500,000 if it's fully managed at 1% or more.
Right. So what I would say would be, I'm going to stick with the million. And anything that I bring in that's less than $1 million, I'm going to put into our 50-50 account. And you bring in stuff that goes into, you know, we close it and we manage it together. That's our 50-50 account. You bring it in yourself. You do it. You don't need me. That's 100% you.
Okay.
So the idea would be that you'd bring in, you're not going to punish him by that 50-50 account, because you're going to be bringing in as much as he is into that.
Mm-hmm. Well, additionally, the other benefit that I see from any type of partnership, are you able to hear me okay?
Yeah, you need to speak up just a bit.
Okay. So the other benefit that I see is being introduced to the Columbus market alongside with Derek. And then also having one or two accounts that I can grow, build relationships with, and then work for those introductions to their networks. And it might be something that Derek doesn't have the time to do because he's working on his top 100, but the next 100 on his list would easily be more than my top 100. And so for me, like I'm perfectly fine with any type of split. And I agree that I want to spend the majority of my time hunting as opposed to gathering.
Right.
But even when I'm gathering, I'm still going to be hunting. Now, either hunting for the additional assets or hunting for those referrals. But you've got to earn those referrals first. And you also have to earn the trust of the Columbus market.
Sure. And so, I think when you guys show up together, you get instant credibility. See? Mm-hmm. So it's you're the bird dog, you're the finder. And I wouldn't, Johnny, I wouldn't try and close money business except for relatives on your own.
And that's kind of what I'm doing right now is even with the relatives is making sure that everything that I'm doing is kind of rubber stamped by Derek to make sure that it fits within the guidelines because he knows way more than I know. I know.
Yeah, so, I mean, does that make sense to you guys? I mean, that's simple, but you know, you can tweak the numbers and decide, but that way, Derek, you're not bringing in things that are big. I mean, you're not bringing in little accounts that you shouldn't be bringing in anyway, but they go in the 50-50 account. And then I would have Johnny manage that 50-50 business pretty much on his own. And, even though you put it in there and you close it, he can do the 12-4-2s.
Exactly.
Okay. And then I'd give him like 10 accounts a month. Mm-hmm. And just have him call those and do set up, you know, if they're little, then you do them, you know, I do them quarterly. And if they're sizable or they have opportunities, then I do them 12-4-2.
Okay. And that's the kind of thing I was looking for this morning. Rob, I appreciate it. We're trying to figure out. So we'll do just a 50-50. 50-50 split because we can always come back and adjust it.
Yeah, I mean,
we're pretty open and talking to each other.
So. In the end, ideally, you know, 4 years, 5 years from now, you're at a 50-50 split on everything, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a bit, the 50-50 split is sort of the home of where everything will eventually go. But I love the idea of you not bringing in any accounts less than a million in your number. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that anything under a million goes in the joint, no matter what. Mm-hmm. That's 50-50. And then just keep track of, you know, keep track of things though. Mm-hmm. Who's brought in how many assets and what's that account look like and how's it going? Mm-hmm. And you know, you bring in Johnny, you bring in a $6 million account that goes in that 50-50 account that makes Derek have to hustle a lot to get some assets into there to make that equal, right?
Exactly.
So
that's right. Okay. I like that. We just weren't really getting anywhere in the other discussions we were having. So I think maybe they just see too many partnerships set up, you know.
Well, I think the other issue is in talking with the branch folks is they're hesitant to put a number out because they've seen everything from like a 99.99.
Yeah, I know. That's
so 1% split to 50-50 for everything. But it's also difficult because they've also seen those partnerships dissolve pretty quickly. And so what we're looking for is kind of Derek's long-term plan is to be able to phase out of the business and retire.
Right.
But it's kind of what's that process? And I think that a phased approach, making sure that I'm able to cut my teeth first, bring in my own accounts, and then help grow the group book as well. I also want to make sure that Derek's compensated for his time because I don't know what I'm doing yet in a lot of the systems. And so
right,
I'm going to have to ask him a lot of questions. So it's only fair that he's not doing that for free.
Right. No, and that's, you know, and it's, look, the game is, the pie is right now X. Being capitalists and conservatives, we know the only way we raise people out of poverty is to make it 2X.
No doubt.
Okay. And then 3X. And then guess who's happy? Everybody. Right?
Right.
When we think about limited resources, we get into equity. It's not fair. We want to be fair. Well, fair is a term used by people to get more.
That's that scarcity mentality that we've discussed.
Right. It's a scarcity mentality versus the, you know, the mentality of plenty for everyone. Just go out and work. So anyway, I just think it's true. If more revenues solves all issues. Whenever you start to have an issue, go back and say, if we had more revenues, would that solve our issue?
Yes. I know now from management that solves most virtually every issue. Yeah.
Right. You know, I want another sales assistant. Well, get me more revenues. Anything else on that line that you think you have questions on or sticky or, I mean, it's really always comes down to the money.
Yeah. We had the question about, you know, will it confuse clients who they should reach out to? And I said, no, I don't think it would. I think we'd be pretty clear in who's servicing the accounts.
Clients just want to be called.
Yeah.
By somebody that knows them and cares about them.
And Johnny's fantastic at that, getting to know people. So.
And Johnny, where are you in terms of getting ready for CFP and things like that?
So I've got to wait 3 years for my CFP due to all the requirements. I've already taken the financial planning specialist course, passed it. I have to wait 2 years before I can put that designation on. But that also counts as a course credit for the CFP. I'm more than happy to start doing the CFP. I just want to make sure that whatever the Morgan Stanley reimbursement process is, usually you have to be there a certain time period before they'll reimburse you for it. But I can take the CFP course at any point. I just can't use the designation until 3 years.
Did you do any kind of work before you got here?
None in financials. It was all startup technology sales, basically.
Right. And you didn't do any internships or anything here?
No, sir.
Because you can use those. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, literally nothing from that front.
Okay.
And
I've got my eye on that one.
Yeah, that's something you want to be, because that's your, you know, that's the leverage, right? Because instead of being Mr. Question, you become Mr. Answer Man.
Exactly. And that's why I've gone on and gotten all the certifications I can get at this point. That's that way I'm capable to do everything. It's just, I want to put those three letters after my name as well.
Yeah. Well, I think you've got you got your work cut out for you. So I would just practice and I would set up the onboarding process for clients, you know, a 90-day onboarding process. So it becomes something that you guys are very ritualized around, basically creating a checklist.
Yeah. You started. It's not in there. We could probably formalize that a little bit better.
Yeah, we've got a meeting checklist that is essentially a new client checklist. Make sure we've got trusted contacts, birthdays, financial plan. Do we have a financial plan? Is it being monitored?
Are they online? Are they, you know, educated on some of the features?
Yep.
You know.
But as far as like an onboarding, I think we can also go into a little bit more detail with what that first 9 days looks like for them. And that'd also be a nice thing to kind of give to the clients. Maybe not necessarily a checklist, but kind of like, here's what your first 90 days, what you're going to get from us.
Right. Everybody does not everybody. The good teams do this. The problem is they don't do the 12-4-2 after that. Mm-hmm. So we haven't spent that much time on this, but I think it's something that I really think that everybody should confirm that they have in hand when I'm coaching them. Because I think it eliminates a lot of the client's concern. When you tell them that you're going to call them every month, and that you're going to have an agenda and then an executive summary, they just stop worrying. Okay, now the work goes to you, but it makes them not worry, which means they're happy, which means you're referable. Okay, and since your focus is becoming as referable as humanly possible, the more you can do that to make them comfortable, the better they will like it. So that's part of your explanation of your service model and your investment model and your estate planning model. Those are all important. So when we, just to reiterate, you say to yourself, okay, the three things that are most important to the client, start with financial planning, right? When and how are we going to do financial planning? They don't know that, but that's what they care about. The second is asset liability management, the investment process. And the third is the service model. What am I going to get for service? And that pretty much takes care of their concerns. So when we look at, go back to the five-star model, director of planning, director of implementation, director of brand management. So just think about when building your onboarding process that you are covering those three things, which are the most important thing to the client. As long as they know exactly what's going to happen when, they can be comfortable.
I like this as a mark. I think that could help kind of reshape the client relationship that he's directing.
Yeah. So we've got, his uncle, that's what we're talking about now. So he's got about $750,000-$800,000 in assets, and he's got some more too, but, he's coming in, but he's been a do-it-yourselfer, you know, so he's kind of reframing the conversation on us right now. So we're about to meet with him again today, talk to him at some point. You know, he's been trading his own stocks. And so he's all of a sudden started giving Johnny ideas like, hey, I want you to take a look at this and this and this. And so kind of we want to throw up our hands here and go, wait, that's not really the business we're in. You know, a lot of other places you can do that for free if you want to.
Yeah.
We're not going to operate that way. So we just got to, this is what he's talking about. We got to reframe that conversation with Mark, and how to do that. So.
And I think doing the, here's what you get for the first 90 days is a great way to reset the expectations.
Yeah. It's hard when people like stocks and they want to talk about stocks, you know, they want to talk about stocks, you know, it's like tennis. It's a game. So it's, you know, that may not, he may want to, you know, say, okay, this is my, you know, this is my index money here with you guys. And this is, I'm going to go and talk stocks with these other people. Cause it's different, right?
Yeah, it's fine. What we thought is trying to get him to segregate an account out, you know, where he's basically got some input in it, you know, and then the core of it is going to be a managed, and we can do individual stocks, and we've got some great managers, that I think look very similar to what he's doing already. And so the idea would hopefully be to take that where he's feeling like he has to make the decisions, give it to somebody else who's doing it for him in the same vein of stocks that he already likes. Cause he looks a lot like a lot of these large cap growth managers that are, you know, heavy in tech, is what he looks like right now. So.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got a probably a 4 or 5 year shift now. You know, if you look at value, you know, growth versus value and then value versus growth, how long these cycles last, they can last a long time and it takes people a long time to adjust to the transition. So he, you know, and I'm a victim. We're all victims of it because, you know, if you've done well in the last 10 years, you've been in growth.
Growth, absolutely.
Right. You didn't own, you know, Foremost McKesson or whatever. Maybe that's a bad example, but you didn't own a steel company and you didn't own a copper company.
Right.
And so the, people will not be that excited about that. You know, doing the right thing is a balance, not staying in one side or the other. And we should be overweighted in value now. And he may not want to hear that. I'm head of the investment committee for our island school, which manages about $10 million and in the foundation. And we've done fine. We've done great because we've been in growth. And the last meeting I said, you know, I want to move. So we're overweighted in value. And I said, we own the RSP, you know, the SPY. And I said, there's no reason to own the SPY. We should move that million into the RSP, which is equally weighted. And guess what? In the year to date, the RSP is up 17% and the SPY is up 10%. Okay. Now that's a lot when it comes to, you know, millions of dollars. So those are the kind of decisions that investment money managers should make, but Northern Trust would not have done that without Rob Knapp. Okay. Mm-hmm. Insisting on doing it.
Yeah.
And that's what your uncle needs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We got some ideas too about things we can show him to make that argument for him.
Okay.
Yeah. Look at the, you know, people say, no. The, you know, the SPY is a market weighted index of the index of the 500. And the SPY, RSP is equally weighted and it's rebalanced monthly. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing. And when people buy the S&P 500, they think they're getting something that's equally weighted. Well, it's not. So that's the kind of thing where you can educate him and help him. The other thing, if he's a stock guy, having a good money manager, I use Winslow for growth and I use these other guys. Anyway, they're good money managers, right? So I get ideas from them.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I manage part of it because I like it and I like stocks. But I love the ideas that my money managers give me. And when they're selling something, I'm curious as to why and they're buying something else, right? So I think you can teach him to use the good money managers as a source of ideas and real intellect rather than, you know, the barber.
And I've done that quite a bit, actually. But you know where I end up doing it is somebody who's new in the market and wants to trade their own account. You know, we've had that conversation.
Yeah, so I would, you know, I'd introduce them to that Indy, you know,
yeah.
the Russell, you know, 2000 or, you know, the 500. That's a good place to keep some money, right? Just so you don't overtrade things, and then you get an individual money manager, and then you have, you know, together you can manage, put together a nice portfolio, but it shouldn't be a portfolio of Google and Amazon and today. you're going to get a good return, but you got to kind of force yourself to stay away from those other guys. Mm-hmm. There'll be a time to go back.
Yeah, there will.
But you're going to underperform. And I know that, and I'm not going to sell my Google, but I know I'm going to underperform for a couple of years. So I got to have enough waiting in the other stocks that I've never bought to offset it. So I need the JP Morgans and the RGAs and, you know, different insurance companies. And my healthcare seems to be one that I can hold forever. You know, that seems to be okay.
Right.
But I own a couple of railroads.
Yeah, like FedEx, UPS.
Yeah, FedEx, UPS, Union Pacific. Look, one of the things to keep an eye on, that Dow theory says that, you know, if the Dow's making a new high, but the transportation index is not, it doesn't really confirm the high. In this case, the Dow made a new high and transportation made a new high. And then the Dow sold off, but the transportation index did not sell off. Okay? So that tells you to do not worry. This is not a recession. Markets crash and go down because of impending recessions, earnings. If the transportation index is consistently making new highs, you're off to the races, because that's the guys that carry all the crap.
You familiar with Dow theory? Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll spend a few minutes on it.
So I think that can keep your clients happy and comfortable in these market, because the market will be volatile this summer.
Yeah, definitely. So my big client, my Mr. Big, right, that was working on last year, bringing in more assets. So that's, everything's continuing to work well on that. So, that's been great, but we did do the RSP in his portfolio too. So he loves bullet points. He's like the textbook supernova client. I mean, he's been fantastic. So anyway,
that's great to hear.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah.
I'm getting great feedback there from the work I'm doing. I mean, the guys that are doing it, it's just, you know, good, bad markets. Yeah, we do better in bad markets, and we do better and keep more clients and people are happier. But I'm getting really good feedback from people saying, you know what, this executive summary did, I'm bringing you another $5 million.
Right.
Crazy stuff, you know, referring people because of this. So, you don't hear the stories. They're there. And
I can imagine. I know they are. This is huge, but I can't thank you enough. I mean, yeah, you know, it's crazy. I used to walk in, last year, I think, you know, my baseline when I walked in, you know, your managed account fees hit for the year or for the month, and they were around, you know, pretty consistently, but about 27,000, right? So I'm walking in today and they're closer to 50,000 right now. That's just managed account fees. And I know the market's helped, but we've had a lot of new assets. The market has not helped that much, coming in here. So
extraordinary
difference.
Gives you peace of mind.
Yeah.
I mean, you can bring in a Johnny. You can do some experiments when you've got cash flow.
Right.
And you don't have to worry about, you know, where are we going to pay for the new pair of shoes, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So
way to go.
All right. Well, you've helped me along this far. So, now going back to what we originally were talking about, that I've done a really good job with the executive summaries. I have not done a good job with the agendas. I have not done a good job with the agendas, but I've done a very good job with the follow-up on the executive summary.
Okay, so a little hint. If you're doing the executive summaries, that creates your agenda.
Okay. Just to pull up from the executive summary and then for the next meeting, recap the summary. And
like we had five things that we committed to, right? And so that can be the agenda for the next meeting.
Okay. All right. Well, that should help me then.
Yeah. It's kind of like, okay, what are we trying to accomplish between now and the next meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get down and then. Okay, the last time we talked, this is what we said we wanted to do. How did you do? How did we do? Well, we did this and you did this. Good. Okay, great. Now what? And so one of the things that, Johnny, that you need to think about is, okay, when we've done everything, then what do we talk about? Well, that's where the 24-month calendar comes in. And that's where, you know, we're going to talk about long-term care for the next 2 months with all our clients. Whether they need it or not, they're going to hear about it because somebody's grandmother wishes they had long-term care, right? And so they need to be educated. So part of what we do is have an educational piece as part of the agenda. And that's healthy for you. And that's not going to apply to every person you call because they just had a new baby or they're getting married or they're getting divorced and that's all they want to talk about. And so that's what you talk about. Okay. And then you just push that off till, or you skip it till it comes up again in 12 months or something. Now, if it's urgent, you do it. But if it's not urgent, you talk about what they think is the most important thing. That new grandchild.
And I've been sharing that during my prospect meetings. I've been bringing a sample client folder and kind of sharing that. And in it, I have a long-term care kind of brochure. And like, here's where we talk about like monthly topics. Long-term care is one of them. Insurance and kind of like list it out. And they're like, oh, that's super interesting. Like, and so I'm like, I always want to bring something of value to every meeting. And so right. If nothing else, I want to educate you on something that might benefit you down the road, but at least now it's being introduced, so you understand a little bit better what we're talking about. Additionally, one of the other things that we're trying to do is incorporate our VEA partner into pushing out similar information. And so we've given him a copy of our sample 24-month calendar, asked him to find the email blast that can correspond with that. And then that way we can have that go out before we have the client meetings so that they're already introduced to the topic. So we can get to a little bit deeper of a conversation. But again, it's focusing that marketing effort to where it's all focused around a similar message.
That's great. And when you get time and we get yourself organized, you get rid of your headache, you can then think about doing a topic, a webinar on that topic prior to the month and introduce either a person from John Hancock or, you know, with webinars, you can bring somebody in from Boston in 1 second and they can be on your webinar with 30 people on there. It's just a miracle. So start with your VEA, kind of start to incorporate all that so that prior to the month, you've had a webinar on long-term care and then you introduce it and talk about individually. So it can be very customized for them and they're not, even that most of them won't listen to the webinar and you don't care. You know, if you get 4 people on the webinar, that's great. Don't worry about having 30 or 50 people on there.
Okay. But even with those 4 people, you still get that information and you're able to get into a deeper conversation because they joined that webinar for a reason.
Right. Good, Jit. Okay, well, that's great. I'm excited about the VEA. I'm excited about the 24-month calendar. You're doing great. If you're doing the executive summaries, the agenda is the easy part. The executive summary is the hard part.
Yeah. Now, the executive summary has been good. So, and it's helped me a lot. Okay. Well, we've got some direction here too for the partnerships, and I think we can put that behind us for the time.
And Derek, if you get to the point where you are really, you know, we're going to pull the trigger here and I still have some questions, pick up the phone and call me. I'm happy to talk.
Okay. Okay. I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. There's only a few moments when you actually need me.
Yeah, but they're big.
Yeah, but they're big. And so that's important. Fine. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, guys. All right. Have a great one.
Thank you. Bye-bye.